Okay, hello and welcome everyone to Truth Serum, your daily dose of truth, debunking BS realities and illusions that we have subscribed to. My name is Melissa Binkley and I am your host. I am a soul, life, and business strategist, and it's my mission to show you how to transform your life and business by bridging science and spirituality and debunking the current belief systems that have us all trapped. That way we can learn to walk the path of surrender and grace instead of fear and control. It is time to raise social, sustainable, conscious awareness and spirituality and create a conscious revolution. And we need you. We need more leaders, healers, creatives, artists, coaches, speakers to live their purpose, tap into intuitive intelligence, and really create impact with their mission. And through connecting with amazing leaders, we will reach 1 billion and create a shift in the world. Together, creating love leaders. And our first love leader that I want to introduce you to today is Aubrey Daimler. Anyways, can't promise that I'm going to pronounce everything right, ladies and gentlemen, but welcome Aubrey to the show. Aubrey is an author, speaker, and an integrative health coach. She's deeply passionate about wellness and inspiring other women with endometriosis to reconnect to a life filled with love and positive rhythms. And that's why she started the Peace with Endo movement. Her number one best-selling book hit the shelves in November of 2014, called From Pain to Peace with Endo. And she's currently working on her second book that is going to be released in 2017, called Energetics of Endo. Thank you so much, Aubrey, for joining us. And I'm so excited to have you here and talk about the truth.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Awesome. And I apologize for botching the name.
No worries. Happens every time.
Yeah, so I'm so excited to dive into you and your truth serum. So what is your truth serum? What reality do you want to debunk or demystify?
It's so in working with women with endometriosis, the main, I think, thing I want to debunk is that painful periods are normal. So I know for me, you know, I struggled with painful periods ever since I was 12 and was told over and over again, you know, that's normal. It's a normal part of being a woman. So I think that's the main thing. And there's a lot of other myths that come along with endometriosis and women, you know, dealing with pain in the medical type atmosphere and how that's just brushed off.
So we're going to talk today about the truth of painful periods and endometriosis. And really debunk all of the belief systems that the society, medical society, normal society, women, that we've all been ingrained in to have this belief that we have to experience our bodies in a certain way. So Aubrey, share and tell me a little bit about your story. I know that we're doing a book together. We're both co-authors in an amazing book called Women Who Inspire, which is being released September 26, 2017. And in this book, she goes through and explains her journey to finding out about endometriosis and kind of how she's gotten into creating this movement, Peace with Endo. So share with us about how you found out a little bit about the beginning of the story and what really drew you into starting a movement around this.
Right. So like I said, you know, I've struggled with painful periods ever since I was 12. And, you know, when I was 17, I was prescribed birth control pills, which I started taking, which did help with the pain that I was having with my periods. But that came with other side effects. You know, I started having digestive type issues, a really big impact on my mental health is where I noticed it the most. So after taking the pill, you know, for a decade, late in my 20s, I got off of it. And that's when the pain started coming back with my periods progressively getting worse. So for those who don't know what endometriosis is, I'll just give a little rundown of that real quick. So endometriosis is when the cells that line the uterus or the endometrium, cells that are similar to that lining are found outside of the uterus. So they attach themselves to most commonly in that pelvic region. So it'll be found on the outside of the uterus, on the ovaries, you know, on the tubes, on the bladder, on the bowel, all kind of within that pelvic region. But endo can really go anywhere in the body. So those cells, they react like they're still part of the uterus. So with a normal menstrual cycle, they're going to get thicker like the lining would. But when my period comes, those cells don't shed, right, like the uterus would. So they just inflame, and then the body builds scar tissue. So it's painful. It's a painful condition. And one of the most common symptoms of it are to have painful periods. So that was the case for me. And as I got off the pill, they were progressively getting worse. I was missing work every month when my period would start. And it was actually a coworker of mine who mentioned endometriosis to me. So I was, you know, mentioning this to my doctor, my gynecologist, you know, I'm having pain with my periods. And it was just, oh, just take ibuprofen or get back on the pill. So those were what was offered to me over and over again. You know, like, why don't you get back on the pill? Like, I don't want to get back on the pill. When I got off the pill, I started to think more clearly. You know, my intuition started to light up again. I started to feel more like myself. So I knew I didn't want to go back down that path. So I kind of like toughed it out, but things were getting worse and worse and worse. So she actually noticed, you know, I was missing work every month. She's like, hey, I think you have endometriosis. And I had no idea what that was. So it was the first time I ever heard that word. Even though I was, you know, 29 at the time, I'd never heard of endometriosis. So I took to Google. I fell into the Google hole. I started researching, actually started joining support groups of other women that had this, and I was hearing their stories, and it was kind of like, yes, like finally there's a reason for this. There's a reason why I'm having all this pain. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where the chapter picks up, is at that point of getting diagnosed. So the only way to diagnose endometriosis is through surgery. They go in laparoscopically and look around and cut out. If they find any of those cells, they'll cut them out. So that at this point, that's the only way to diagnose it.
And I think that that's just with all of our technology and everything that we have, just seems kind of tragic and painful that that's the only way to diagnose such a severe thing. And that is something that's so commonly overlooked by, I mean, you know, you were going to doctors for years. Mm-hmm. Hey, I have this thing. And like your gynecologist, nobody ever said anything about, well, maybe we should check out something different. And I wonder if it has to do with because of the invasive type of surgery that you have to go through just to even find out if you have it.
Right. And that's a big part of the problem. And that's a big part of my, you know, mission, is to build more awareness about this, because, you know, it takes an average of 8 years is the statistic for women to get diagnosed. And, you know, women are just, it's brushed off. Like I said, like, it's normal. Oh, you have pain with your periods. It's normal. Or take the birth control pills. That's the first thing they jump to. So there's a lot of physical pain, but there's also a lot of emotional baggage that comes with, you know, you're not being heard. Like, you're having pain, you're expressing it to this authoritative type figure, and it's being brushed off. So there's a lot of emotional stuff that comes with not learning how to not trust your body, in a sense, you know, like, oh, maybe it is, because women are told, you know, like, it's all in your head, which just breaks my heart hearing that now, because you're having real pain. But and especially when you're young, you know, when you're 12, 13, that's the time where your hormones are developing, and it's easy to be like, oh, she's just, you know, she's an overreactive girl.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
So there's a lot that comes with that. So a big part of my mission, yes, is to spread awareness. And I think, unfortunately, that's not always present in the doctor's office. So it's more or less getting, you know, the women in the community to speak up about it. Mm-hmm. That's really where we're going to learn, is from each other.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so what I call the masterpiece message is really, you know, when you take a lesson or a trial or something that brought you to your truth and your mission. And so it seems to me your masterpiece message was the having endo, but not just having it, it's the experience of what you've done and the steps that you have taken since then to really create a community around this and help other women to have a voice and stand up and really understand what's going on. So I found it fascinating that I'd love to know the couple of steps that you started with that finally, what was your, like, the aha moment or the thing that that finally said, okay, I have to do something else because this doesn't work anymore? And what were those first few things that you did?
Right. So, you know, after I got diagnosed, finally, and the suggestions that were offered to me by the doctor after having surgery were, you know, get back on the pill or get pregnant as soon as possible was the other suggestion to me. So my husband and I were married only a year, not even a year. So that wasn't like top of mind necessarily, you know, and had just had surgery. And one thing that's often not talked about as much with endo is that it causes pain with sex. So that
you're
wasn't
supposed to have a baby, which is going to cause pain, sex, which is going to cause pain, create a situation that's going to cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars over years with college and all these other possible things that could happen. So that you don't have pain for your period.
Right. So the fact that was even offered, right, brings up a whole nother set of issues. But supposedly, you know, pregnancy will stop the symptoms.
Huh.
But not for everybody. And that's definitely not a treatment option, right? So, and along with that, you know, endometriosis is one of the leading causes of infertility. Mm. So I guess based with those two choices, you know, it's like, well, we can try to get pregnant, but then it's not happening, which brings even more stress because it's like, oh, well, I need to get pregnant in order to calm this down. And now it's not happening. So there's a lot that went into that. So in that moment, I was like, okay, I don't really like the two options. There's a third option that's often prescribed called Lupron, which is a horrible drug that essentially kicks your body into menopause. So it manipulates your pituitary gland to shut off estrogen in your body. So that's an intense
and another way just to shut off the, you know, all of the connections you have in your body and everything, like all of the medications, and as a part of that truth serum, all the medications and all the stuff that are out there really disconnect us from our bodies and from our higher self and from anything else. And so we're putting a band-aid on a problem instead of getting to the root of it. And the truth is the doctors are doing the best that they can. They don't know what they don't know, and they're not even educated enough to know what to do next. And I found that for myself at going to school and learning different things. And I'm sure that once you started on this path, that it was something you discovered also that they didn't even know.
Exactly. So I'm grateful. You know, I took, after falling into that kind of low point of the sucks, the choices suck, like there has to be something else. So I'm grateful for women that were blogging, that were sharing their story and connecting the impacts of food, the impacts of diet. Mm-hmm. So that's where I started, was with the quote unquote endo diet. So cutting out, you know, inflammatory foods, adding in whole vegetables and fruits, and which was a big change for me because I was eating poorly at the time. I was eating a lot of inflammatory foods and really not putting that connection together that the food that I was eating was actually impacting how I was feeling. Like I never put that together. I think growing up, dieting and food was always about like losing weight. That's what was sold to me. And I had missed that connection that, oh, what I eat can actually impact how I feel.
Yeah. I think that a lot of people miss that, especially in our day and age of the body image crisis of the younger kids that from their parents. And like you're talking about the diet revolution and all of those things, I think we're now in a shift of moving out of that. But for the time periods when we grew up, and you know, the 70s, the 80s and the 90s, a lot of those people grew up with food was a weapon. Food was something to control and to use instead of something to heal your body with. And now we're coming to a place where we're starting to realize that food is one of the most powerful things that you can do to heal your body. And will make differences across the board for all sorts of symptoms and things and stuff. I personally healed myself from hypothyroidism through food after going to IIN, Institute for Integrative Nutrition, which is, I know, the next step that you took after you started to do the food thing and started to feel better. You decided to go to the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. And you know, I love it that you've gone there because I went there also. And then I'm also a teacher now for IIN. And what led you into taking the next step and moving from, you know, just the food? Obviously that wasn't enough, right? There was more that you felt like you needed to do.
Right. And I became really fascinated. You know, I'm a natural researcher. I love to learn new things. So, and I find the human body to be fascinating as I was digging into this, and really being more drawn to, you know, more of the Eastern philosophies of Ayurveda, traditional Chinese medicine, really taking into account the whole, you know, mind, body, spirit. So as I was going through this transformation, you know, and connecting with other women, with endo, and just really feeling that pain that's so present in the community, and remembering how hopeless I felt, you know, of not, of these limited options that are given to you from the doctor. So really wanting to help, help these women, mm-hmm. and having a great amount of knowledge just from pulling it all in from reading, and that's just my nature, and writing, you know, I started blogging. Mm. And started building a community online of women that were reaching out to me. So, like, there has to be something else that I can do. Yeah. And I went to school for a long time. I've got stacks of diplomas. So it's like, I don't really want to go back and like be a doctor, right? That's way too long. So I was drawn to IIN. I was drawn to the message of Joshua's message of just putting love, I guess, more into the healing process, I think was, I was really drawn to him. So that's really where I found my spot at IIN. And my education there really opened my mind to what the definition of health was, because it's not just food. At the time, I was very focused on food. And like you said, controlling that part, it was very much like, oh, I can heal myself through food. And then it became like, oh, I need to find the exact perfect diet and the exact perfect foods, and I'm going to control that part of it. Mm-hmm. But that only got me so far. So I was feeling better on a day-to-day basis, but I was still having super horrible period pain. So I knew that there was something else. So they opened up, IIN opened up my mind to the idea of health and primary foods, right? Which is not just what you're eating, but everything that's feeding your life that's not on your plate.
Yeah.
So taking a bigger look at, you know, my relationships and my career and things that were chronically stressing me out. Mm. So I think that was kind of like the next step, was addressing the stress in my life, which ultimately led me to meditation, which is really where the spiritual kind of growth started to happen. Mm.
And I love, you know, when I talk about Truth Serum and I talk about the path of our masterpiece message and creating impact in the world, I have found that every person that I talk to has this this masterpiece, this challenge that they turn into something incredible. And then this business, this life, this thing that they create becomes a spiritual journey also. It's not just a physical or a business journey or a life journey, but it's truly about how do we connect back into our intuitive intelligence, our inner self, our intuition on a deeper level. And that's the truth, like getting into how do we find the, you know, connect into the God field, the conscious collective that we are all connected to. And we do that each on our own path. And each of us have a way of finding it through some sort of experience in our lives. And I believe anybody in the world has this possibility, that anybody has a, something in their life that is their masterpiece that they can turn into their spiritual journey that takes them into leading others into help. So I love that this journey also took you into that path. And, you know, one of the things that you wrote in your chapter, you said, you were talking about control, right? We were talking about the fear and the loss of control. And I talked about earlier, I said, you know, when we surrender into grace and let go of control. And then I read your chapter, and it was like the acknowledgement of this ever-present fear of losing control led me to the most important lesson on my healing journey, surrender. So talk a little bit to me about what surrender means to you and how that experience of surrender became part of the truth of your truth serum into your healing.
Right. So I think it was almost like a process of learning how to feel again. So I think like connecting to my soul, connecting to my higher self through meditation is what helped bring me there. Also helped me to, in a sense, separate my physical body from my higher self. Mm-hmm. So that was a big perception shift for me. When you're living in a body that brings a lot of pain, chronic pain, that feels out of control. So there have been moments that have been traumatic is the best way to say it, with the start of my period, where it's so overwhelming and it's so unyielding, mm-hmm. that it's constant and there's nothing else you can do except just surrender to it. So, you know, for so long in my life, I learned how to avoid, how to numb things. So, and I think that's natural. You know, you get pain, it's like, oh, I want to make it stop. Right. Mm-hmm. So I was conditioned as a child, as growing into a woman, like, okay, I have this pain, I'm going to the doctor, they're giving me this pill, I'm going to make it stop. So finding ways to numb the physical and then also the emotional pain. So, you know, be pills, be sugar, shopping, drugs, alcohol, whatever it was. So not really processing and feeling what was going on until, you know, it came to a point where I didn't have a choice, where it was like, I have no other choice but to feel this pain that is horrible. You can't numb it when it gets to that point, when it blows up to that level, you can't numb it. Yeah. So there was no other choice than to surrender to it, which sounds intense. If you haven't been in that space, you know, it sounds kind of counterintuitive, but really falling into it and feeling everything, really, it, in a sense, it helped to lessen the pain.
Yeah. Yeah. I find that it, although it sounds counterintuitive, you're completely right. The experience of releasing and letting go and surrendering into something actually opens up the ability for healing and for a new feeling to come. When you think about two forces, if you resist a force, what do you get? It's like, I have to be really strong and push and push and push against that force. Like if I want to, you know, push against the wall's not going to go anywhere. Or if I push against someone, you know, we're going to hold against each other. But if I release and let go, that person falls. And so the same thing when you're releasing or letting go or surrendering into pain or trauma or any of those things, when you just allow yourself to let it go, something magical does happen. And it really opens up this space and this, you know, place in between where you can find the magic of the healing, where you can step into something that is much greater. But we're so fearful of letting go of the control or feeling it or doing all that stuff that we hold on so tight to something, mm-hmm. that we don't even realize that we're our own worst freaking enemies. Like we're causing our own pain by suffering in our own suffering and being stuck in that space. And so the truth serum is really that this idea of surrender and letting go, and I know you said like allowing, is actually the path of grace and the path of easiness, although it seems to be the scariest way to go, right?
Absolutely. And so, like you said, just opening up and allowing. So, and it physically, you know, in the pelvic space, it gets really tense, especially when you have that kind of pain. It clenches up. And everything kind of gathers in that area. So, you know, I've gotten more into the chakras. I've gotten more into energetic type healing. And I can say, you know, after spending years on the diet and doing all the physical stuff, addressing the physical body, it wasn't enough. And it wasn't until I started to address that spiritual side, the energetics, the trauma, the stuff that's built up in that pelvic bowl, is when things started to shift in a big way. And it's almost as though, and it was I worked with somebody that does energy, and she was the first to introduce me to the whole idea of giving and receiving, which shows up in the pelvic space. And she could see that my energy was off, that I was out of balance, that I was giving more than receiving. Mm-hmm. So, and that's common, you know, being in the kind of healing industry, right? When you're a compassionate type leader, it's very easy to give and not take the time to receive. And that control factor. So having issues asking for help, having issues kind of letting go a little and allowing people to help me, I guess. So taking down the walls. Mm-hmm. In a sense. So she pointed it out to me, like, you need to stimulate that feminine flow of receiving.
Yeah.
So I think letting down my guard a little bit and shifting my energy to, yes, I am open to receiving. So I started like verbally declaring that as an intention before I would meditate. I think meditation is also a time for receiving. You're receiving messages from source, from God. Mm-hmm. So shifting that energy instead of being so controlling, it was like, I'm opening it up. And once I did that, like magical things started to happen, synchronicities, people started coming into my life, like presented to me like, hey, you asked for help, you're ready, here it is. Yeah. So the people that I needed to kind of put the finishing touches to get deeper into releasing came to me once I had shifted my energy. So yeah. Allowing into opening up to receiving.
Absolutely. Wow. What a beautiful noticing. And I've gone through similar experiences and seen it also with a lot of clients and working in, you know, I'm being really great at giving also, but not learning how to do that feminine receiving. And I was at a point in one time in my business where I would give, and I was doing all that I could, but I was working to a place where I just couldn't go anymore. But I wouldn't ask for help. I wouldn't ask for the things that I needed. And I had a team and I had all this stuff, but I was drowning. And the universe has just decided, well, you know, you're not going to listen to me anymore. I'm going to hit you with a 2x4. And so I learned from that experience to do exactly what you said, to ask for help and to receive, and had to look at my own ideas of what that meant for me because of my sexual trauma, which is also has to do with that chakra area, the pelvic bowl. Like, you know, when I work with all of the trauma victims and things, we see a lot of that, and it's the experience of saying, well, you know, if I'm receiving, what do you want from me? Like, if I receive, what am I going to have to give back that I don't want to give because I'm already giving? And so I had this feeling or this idea or this notion that receiving could only come to me if I had to give back something that they wanted instead of what I wanted to give, which compared to my past wasn't what I wanted to give. So, you know, seeing that experience and understanding those things and opening that up and to receive is one of the most important things that we can do. And especially for the women that are listening to this, you know, I know you're all givers. We all have been taught, especially Western women, to put ourselves last and to give and be givers. And there's a point where the truth serum is you must do for yourself first and receive before and fill your own cup to overflowing before you can ever give, or you're not actually giving. And a part of that filling it up is self-love. And one of the things that you wrote in your chapter, you said, and this is so, I so love this whole statement. You said the human body is an amazing creation and it naturally wants to find homeostasis, but it needs the proper nutrition. It needs your love. I love that because it was like you said, proper nutrition. I expected to see something else. And I said, it needs your love. And I was like, yes. It says self-love is what makes change stick. It's what pulls you through when you want to quit. It's the whispered reminder in your ear that you deserve to feel better. Wow. What a great paragraph of just understanding that there's something so much more than just nutrition that we need to connect to.
Absolutely. But you know, nutrition is what introduced me to this. You know, it's what brought awareness. But really, yeah, it's not, you know, it was that mental shift between this isn't a diet, you know, this isn't restrictive. This isn't, I have to do this. Like, because again, that's a like restrictive, right? Like, cut it out. No. Instead of, I'm feeding myself, you know, and adding in good stuff because I deserve to feel good.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's like the underlying fear that again shows up in that sacral space. Like, I'm not enough, you know, but you are.
Yeah.
So
I went through when I was going to IIN in the beginning, I went from, because I had eating disorders in my past, like all sorts of, I was a bulimic, anorexic and things like that. And so when I got into IIN, this exact thing you're talking about was like, I was like, oh, healthy. So I went the other way and I ended up with orthorexia, which is become the health nut to the extreme of unhealthy. Mm-hmm. In that way, and all of it in the end, what I learned through it all was because I didn't have self-love. It didn't matter what I was doing. The food was what brought me to self-love. It was changing my food and my experience with food that healed all of that stuff, but it brought me to self-love. It brought mm-hmm. me to the next thing, and self-love is what got me to connecting into my higher self and spirituality. So it was like these things that all connected.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. When we're trying to transform our lives, many people believe that we have to have a complete overhaul. Like, I have to change everything in my life so that I can make a change. But I think that there's another way. So what is one ritual practice or thing that you cannot live without? That the 5-minute solution, the one thing that if anybody's going to do something to start, what's the truth serum?
So I have many things, but diet is definitely a big part. So feeding yourself with good foods, and also just taking time for yourself. So I think deep breathing is probably one of the, take a breath. It's probably like one of the best things that you can do. If a 5-minute solution, you know, mm-hmm. so tuning in, listening to your body, I think would be the number one thing. Mm-hmm. And finding that space to do that. So finding time for stillness.
Great. So when you say listening to your body, can you give the audience, our listeners, a technique or something that they can try today that helps them to learn how to listen to their body? Because maybe they don't even know. I know I didn't know what the fuck that meant back in the day. I was like, what do you mean listen to my body? Ouch, I stubbed my toe. I hear you, right?
Like, right. And it's hard because, like I said, you know, for me, it was a process of learning how to feel again. So I forget that sometimes that people are in different spots. So it's really, again, taking a moment to take a breath, to just take a moment of stillness, mm-hmm. taking deep breathing and feeling that breath move through your body can help you reconnect back into mm-hmm. it. So even if you do a quick body scan of just breathing in and really feeling how you're feeling, yeah. Those feelings are energy. You know, if you don't feel things, they're going to get stuck in there. Yes. So. And your breath is always your connector.
Like because I work with trauma, we know that, we have a process called emotion coding, and we've studied, and scientific proof shows that emotions actually get stuck in physical parts of the body. And if you do not release them, you 5, 10, 15 years down the road, you end up with cancer or throw out your back or do all these crazy things. And you think it has to do with that moment there, but it's actually a trapped emotion from years before. So this is really, really important. The truth serum on this is that our emotions will create the diseases in our body. And if we don't do something to heal them, or breathing, I agree, is one of the first things you can do, then you may have an experience today where you have panic or trauma or even something very simple and not know that it's going to show up 10 years from now in your body.
Right. And it's okay to feel as you feel, you know. Yeah. I'm a big proponent for positive thinking. I came out in the endo community to be a positive voice, but I also know that it's not always positive, obviously. And you can't always force that positivity. So it's okay to feel as you feel.
Okay, say, I feel like crap and honor it and explain into it instead of, that's one of the other truth serums that I think is really important is this idea of when you're at the spiritual path that, oh, everything's gloss over that bullshit. Like everything's just okay. And no, you're still in a freaking human body. We're still living this shit. Like, you know, and it's an amazing life, but we can't gloss over the experience of saying, hey, just because I know that I'm not my body and that I have a higher self and all that doesn't mean that I don't feel it and can't experience it and be in it, but it's staying stuck in it is what we don't want to do.
Exactly. Exactly. So feel it. And that allows you to release it.
Yeah.
Feel through it. It's, you know, emotions are like the weather. It's going to come and it's going to pass. And just know it's going to pass.
I like that. Yeah. So if you could do one thing in this world before you pass to the next realm, to wherever that may be for you and your soul, and that doesn't have to be business related or any kind of related, but what would you do? What's one thing that you really want to do that you haven't got to experience yet that you have to do before you go?
Right. So, I mean, I want to see more of the world, travel, and really experience life. So I think that's one of my goals, is to find the freedom to where I can do that and travel. And
absolutely. And find that freedom. I see you as a voice for this community of taking that on a global scale and using a travel as like I do, travel the world and get to speak at conferences and events and, you know, speak about and talk and do trafficking work and all this stuff. And so the travel is integrated into my whole life in this like beautiful way. And I see that for you also as a real way to get out there and share your voice. So I have one final question for you today. Before we go into that final question, I want you to share with everyone, how can they find you? Like give them your information, ways that they can connect with you so that if they have somebody that they need to send to you or any way that they can, that for endometriosis or period pain or any of that kind of health and wellness stuff that you do, how do they do that?
So you can find me at peacewithendo.com is my website. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at peacewithendo. And, you know, my book is out, From Pain to Peace with Endo. It's out on Amazon or iBooks, Kobo. Most of the online retailers, you can find that.
Fantastic. Awesome. You've got it going on, girl. So, the last question. It is, you're 110 years old. You're on your deathbed. You've made it to 110. You know, it's got the 11 in there. I had to use that number. And everybody's gone, and there's just one person there, and he's standing next to your bed, and he's like, I'm going to be writing your epilogue and your obituary. I'm going to get to share this with the world. He says, if you had one truth that you could leave for all of your friends, family, and humanity to know, what would you say?
Just a reminder that you are love, I think is the best truth. So stimulate that, you know, while you're here in this human existence, you know, stimulate that vibration of joy, and really spread that, you know, spread who you are. And we are all one, connected to that love.
Yes.
As you connect to that and heal yourself, you know, you heal the world.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I have love tattooed on my body. My daughter's middle name is Love. I have a tattoo that in Sanskrit that says one love, one tribe. So you're speaking my language.
Yes.
The theorem is we are all one. Yes. And the truth about painful periods and endometriosis is it doesn't have to happen. And Aubrey can show you how. Thank you all so very much for joining us today. You can connect with me at melissabinkley.com, intuitiveintelligenceacademy.com, or find me over on Facebook, anything Melissa Binkley, and we will talk to you soon. Tell us what the truth is. See you later.